Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bez Hashem, BPW number 89. That's Bayis Pnimi, Shear for Women, Shear number 89. And we started to talk about the importance of refraining from excessive or extreme criticism. And we explained that V'haftol Re'acha Kamoicha is when you have many faults and nevertheless you love the person, just like you have faults and you love yourself. You love that other person with their faults. And when you see that your husband has faults and your husband has faults and every wife has faults, but you feel that makes them less lovable, like we said. And only when they improve on this and this and this, then I'll love them. And the husband does the same thing to his wife. When she loses her 25 pounds, and when she stops being selfish, when she does more work or whatever, then he will love her. Till then, you know, I'll correct and criticize until she fixes her wagon. It's a two-way street. So when a woman does that, or a man, there's two mistakes being made. So the first is that the wife's assumption that her husband is not lovable until he changes. Again, we are not talking about toxic, dangerous, or mentally ill people that are extreme psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, and extreme addiction. We're not talking about that now. That's separate. We're talking about people that have normal range flaws, human flaws. And when the human flaws, yes, there are certain behaviors that it's very hard to tolerate, but it's counteracted with many redeeming qualities, redeeming characteristics that are balancing that. So a husband would have to become a lovable person in order to win the love of his wife. At the same time, each one has the ability to influence each other, to change them for better or for worse. There's certain kayach to do so. So again, with the exception of truly unlovable husbands that are really, really seriously disturbed psychologically, when we're talking about normal, the vast majority of husbands and wives that have normal strengths, normal weaknesses. We're dealing with normal people. In those cases, we say that they're lovable because Hashem said they are. In Tanit Belio, it says, my beloved children, what do I lack? What do I have to ask for? All I ask is that you love and honor each other, nothing more. I mean, that is the main thing Hashem wants from us. And everything else sorts out afterwards. So if a husband is basically normal, and don't assume that he's not basically normal because you're upset at him. Be more objective about what basically normal is. But if your husband is basically normal, then you can expect that you will be happy with some of his behaviors, and you won't be that happy with other of his behaviors. And you can choose, and you should choose, to love him even while being aware of those faults, some of them that drive you off the wall. This is something that is hard to do, but it is important to do. While some annoying faults are there, you're happy with the other behaviors that are good and that are there. You focus on that. What happens is once you see these faults, then the next mistake is thinking that you could help your husband change by criticizing him or correcting him. And while a woman may desire to help her husband change in certain areas, especially those areas that affect her directly, laziness and making parnassa, not disciplining the children enough, not helping enough in the household tasks, waking up Shabbos morning very late for Shachris or in general very late. So not to say it doesn't need to be addressed. There's ways to address it. You don't have to bury it under the rug. You could address some of these things. But be very careful on how you address it, on how you go about helping him in this way. You need to understand, in other words, the effect of criticism. Let's turn it on the head. Let's say you were criticized. Let's say you made a kugel for Shabbos. Everyone takes a bite. And your kids, your husband, too salty, too mushy, too dry, tasteless. You see, they're not happy with it. Do you feel like trying to make it again? Let's say, yeah, okay, I'm going to give it a try. Next time you do it. It looks funny. Why can't you buy it instead? I hate this stuff. Couldn't you add more sugar? Couldn't you do this? Couldn't you do that? Now how do you feel? Most people will just give up. And they'll decide, I'm not making kugel anymore. Why try anymore? You put in the effort 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks to make it. Everyone's criticizing it. And you maybe feel hurt and angered by all this negative feedback. And you won't feel warm and friendly towards your critics. And you won't be interested in making kugel again. Now imagine if your kugel was well received, delicious, perfect, great. You'll be encouraged to go back and make more. You're happy in the presence of those who admire it. You'll feel close to them. There's a positive interaction. And even if it didn't go well, but your family members are supportive of you, nice try, this is good, just do this and this, and I'll tell you next week it'll be better. They'll positively enforce that you could do this better. And we'll try this, we'll try that, whatever it is. How much more positive you would feel. Even, let's say, a wife that normally buys challah and rarely makes challah. Now she wants to start making challah. She has a little more time every Shabbos or so. And her older children or her husband, a lot depends on how they say it. Let's say it didn't come out perfectly the first time. It was missing some salt, missing some sugar, this and that. There's a way to do it to bash it. Then you'll be crushed and you won't do it anymore after a while. Then, but if they even, first of all, praise it when it's really good. And even when something needs to be fixed or adjusted, it's with encouragement. You could do this. Just give it a little time. And we'll have a wonderful, by Pesach, it'll be classic. And you encourage it, you'll be more inclined. This is the same thing when it's the other way around, when it's your husband. You know, if you say, oh, if you're going to clear the table like that, I might as well do it myself. So his feeling will be naturally, okay, so do it yourself. Why should I try when I'm not good at the job? In other words, his experience of failure, of being told he failed, will make him want to give up. Especially if he didn't really care much about the job in the first place. Of course he'll give it up. And he'll also feel resentful towards his wife because of her criticism. Instead of drawing close to her, he'll move away from her. The affection is weakened with every critical comment that he makes. So you praise, thank you for the effort of doing this, and then in a nice way suggest, perhaps do me a favor, take this in this way or that, and I appreciate it. And you say the correction as you're praising. That'll motivate more to do that. So the critical tendency, both in husbands and in wives, is very, very negative. It leads to all kinds of unhappiness. Constant criticism destroys harmony and affection in a marriage. Constant criticism destroys harmony and affection in a marriage. Constant criticism destroys harmony and affection in a marriage. So how can a woman change her husband's behavior for the sake of shalom bayis by severe criticism? There are many other techniques that can be used. One is the use of modeling. What does modeling mean? It works by chinuch too of children. You behave in a correct and desirable manner yourself, and you repeatedly can demonstrate how a person should behave in certain situations. Just like with chinuch of the children, it works like that. In order to be a good parent, you behave yourself properly and your children will see how you behave in life. The same thing like this. If a wife behaves in a dignified way and her husband observes that dignified manner of behaving, he will automatically become elevated. Yeah, spouses, it's fascinating. They sometimes learn from each other's facial expressions and bodily movements in the way they feed off each other. And when it's positive, it's very, very positive. So that's number one. Behave in that correct, desirable manner. Number two, use positive reinforcement. Thank you so much for helping. I appreciate it. You took off all the big things. All I need is for you to clear out a little bit of the cutlery and glass. That would be a great help. You see, you're saying it in a way, you're not saying, you bum, why'd you only take off the pitcher and the big stuff? Take care of the cutlery. What's wrong with you? No. You see the way the wording makes all the difference? And since the husband feels successful, he'll incline to make more improvements and he'll feel closer to his wife as a result. Another technique is make a straightforward request. You're chewing gum. Could you chew just a little quieter? Not saying, oh, you're chewing so loud like a, you know, you're like a camel or something. You don't, you just ask nicely. Could you please chew a little quieter? Or could you please help me put the kids to bed now? Please help me. Usually he'll help. Don't say you never help me, you know, and now help me now. Or openly, I'd like to spend more time, you to spend more time with me. Instead of in the complaint mode, you don't spend enough time with me. Constructive suggestions. Sometimes you need enlist a third party. For example, if you have children, let's say the husband doesn't bench after meals, he mumbles it. And so you don't be critical. Why don't you bench more clearly or this and that? You tell the when the children bench nicely, you praise them. Or when the father does bench properly at some point, you say, look how beautifully, you know, or tell the, you know, how the father, show your father how beautifully you bench. Very indirect. And these, you know, this is very, very important. Sometimes you need to speak to a rav, a counselor, that can happen. But that you use when you tried other things and there's still no change and it's a major concern, then one sometimes needs to do that. To go to a rav, to go to a mentor and iron things out. So every human being has flaws. There are always redeeming characteristics, except for those toxic people we discussed, which is not part of our conversation now. Whether some observant mitzvah observances, being a good provider, a good father, a sense of humor, whatever it is. And then there's behaviors that drive you crazy. Then effort needs to be made to focus on the redeeming characteristics. Be subtle in how you try to go about dealing with the negative aspects of things. Criticism can be helpful only when it's offered very rarely, and even then done in a gentle, positive manner, with both the one who's criticizing and the one who's being criticized are in good moods, meaning they're not angry. You don't pick a time when they're angry. You can pick a time when no one's angry, no one's tired, no one's ill, no one's upset. And it also has to be possible for your husband to make improvements as the result, right? In other words, if you already went to a wedding and you can't go back anymore and the socks don't match, you know, now is not the time. Can't go home and change them now, right? It only works when you're still home. No change can occur right now. You say a negative remark now, you're pushing your husband further away. All negative comments have this effect. You're pushing him away. And you're wasting your criticism mode. You have to criticize sometimes, yes. So you use that capacity and you use it sparingly. A limited number per day, per week, without destroying the shalom bias. When you have to, you have to. But pick your battles and do it wisely. And do it tactfully. Sometimes the criticism is too long. You just keep on going and going and going. Or it becomes as a form of a personal attack. You are wrong. You are bad. You are incompetent. Or whatever it is. To be very, very careful with this. And especially very often, the problem is criticism is obviously, normally, unfortunately, spoken in anger, ranting and raving. When you weaken your point significantly when you're ranting and raving, plus you lose the affection of your husband at the same time. So when you have difficulty controlling your anger, that's a problem. You need to sort of calm down and evaluate what's the point of doing this now. And this is, I'm just going to say to be Messiah over here, a very important point, and that is that on one hand, yes, it's very important to find a calm setting of a place when there is a real difference between a husband and wife. You can't bury it under the rug. It has to be addressed to address it. But if right now you see it's too sensitive, then you could wait a little bit. You could daven to Hashem to help you with it. Sort it out. Very often, you see with the passing of a day or two or three, things calm down and you see things totally differently. And then you'll be able to talk. Sometimes it may take a week or 2 weeks. But you have to sort of gauge it and weigh it and constantly ask Hashem for help pertaining all of this. But generally speaking, criticism, especially excessive criticism, is very, very poisonous, is very, very wrong. And like I repeated three times, and I'm going to repeat it a fourth time now, constant criticism destroys harmony and affection in the marriage. And if you really, truly want Shalom Bayis, you have to be very careful with this. Minimize this, accentuate the redeeming qualities, and even when the things that needs to be corrected, you do it in a very tactful, loving way, with a lot of chachma, as we explained. Bracha v'atzlacha.